Hello, this is news director Larissa Donovan. Joining me in studio today is my co-host, Todd Haugen, and also a couple of employees of Beltrami County. Well, first, Sheriff, he's an elected official. Sheriff Ernie Beidle, welcome.
Thank you.
And County Administrator Tom Berry. I'm not sure if you've been into our recently remodeled studios, so welcome. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Looks
Thank
great.
Thank you very much. Yes.
So I invited you guys to come in to talk about the jail project. Now, there's a big public hearing happening next week, but before we started recording here, you were telling me that the decision, like public input, will be accepted beyond this public hearing date, correct?
Right.
Correct. And one of the reasons, of course, is the county board asked for a little bit more time and understand. And we left ourselves, now that we look at it, somewhat of a short window to be able to take information from the public. So we've opened that up and expanded that a little bit more. So, again, people can become involved and leave their public input. They can take the survey. They can come to the public hearing, gather information there, what other people are having to say as well. But, again, let's make the an educated decision on this thing, and let's take as much input as we can. We don't want anybody to say that, I never knew about this project. I don't know what you're talking about. Where did this come from? Let's make sure that everybody understands what's happening.
So Justice Planners did this huge report. What was it, 70-something pages for that report, for that final report?
It was very long.
Yes, I was reading it homesick one day. But
good for you.
Perhaps if I didn't quite understand in my delirious fever brain, Tom, why don't you, a little bit of the overview of what Justice Planners, what's in their report?
Yeah, you bet. So the county's been very deliberate on wanting to evaluate as many options as we can that are available to us in moving the project forward. So we searched long and hard for a great consulting firm to take a lot of our data in-house, churn that data, and evaluate 7 scenarios that we've challenged them with. Things like, one scenario is do nothing. Like, what would that look like for the county? Because maybe some people are interested in, maybe we shouldn't do anything. All the way through, expanding, renovating, building a regional facility. I mean, there's a number of different options, 7 in total, as I mentioned. And so Justice Planners has been just working excellently to churn all this data, develop population projections. They've been working since February of this year. And their report was presented to the commission in late August, the 24th, I believe. And they left a lot to the commission to think about. The report's very long. It's very detailed. It has the pros and cons of all the various scenarios we asked them to run, the population projections, as I mentioned, alternatives to incarceration analysis, lots of different things that would go into helping to inform our community and certainly our board about the various options and the costs associated with those options. Some people might think, well, if you do nothing, that'd be the cheapest option. In fact, that is one of the more expensive options.
Short-term versus long-term costs.
Right, exactly. as the sheriff has said many times, we're housing so many folks out of the county right now because we don't have the capacity. That expense is growing significantly to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars each year. And so that continues to grow over the next 30 years, which is our model. And the costs become extraordinarily high, even if we just did nothing, because we just won't have the space and we'll have to continue to house folks out of county. That increases transportation costs, it increases overnight county costs to pay other jails to house our inmates. I mean, it's just, all of this kind of stuff and this details in this report, and we're just really pleased to have one of the premier justice analysis firms actually work with the county and help us through this.
Is that the reason that this project has to start moving along now, that we're spending so much money anyway just housing prisoners outside the county?
And that's one big driver behind it, but the other driver is the fact that programming for our inmates, we're lacking in programming, and that's just due to the physical space that we have. After COVID, prior to COVID, we had a very strong programming. After COVID, it's been difficult to get people back in there, but one of the challenges we're facing is we don't have the space to do this. One of the other significant things is our jail is a dangerous place. It's both dangerous for the inmate and for the staff that are working there. It was designed 39 years ago. Went into it opened up 33 years ago. At the time, it was the greatest, the latest and greatest thing that was available to us. And unfortunately, as time goes on, type of inmate or what we have for inmate has changed significantly from when it's the original design, and thus has turned out to be a pretty dangerous place to work.
What's programming for inmates, and Ernie, and why do we want to do it?
Well, programming is one of the ideas behind programming is for us to, in the shorter period of time that we have an opportunity to have some influence on the inmate, is to hopefully change the direction or their future. Offering programming to meet their specific needs, whether it be culturally based programming, or it be programming specific to their individual needs, whether it be mental health or chemical dependency. These are things that we need to be doing a better job at, hopefully affecting people's lives, giving them a better opportunity upon their release from jail, again, affecting them so they don't come back to our jail again. I think that's one of the direction we need to go to again, reduce recidivism. Stop people from coming through that door, give them the greatest opportunity in the world to make the right decision, but we have to give them the tools. We have to give them the time, and we all know when people are influenced by chemicals, they're influenced by the environment, it's very difficult for them to see outside of what they see right at that moment. When they're in jail, they're detoxified, we have just a short window to be able to provide influence on them to say there is a better life for you and let us help you get there.
That's really, I think, to kind of expand on the sheriff's point, we recognize that building infrastructure like this is extraordinarily expensive to the community. And so we've put a lot of effort in trying to understand and explore ways that we can reduce the demand for jail beds. If we can do that by making better arresting decisions, if we can do that by diverting people away from jail to maybe a mental health crisis facility instead of going to jail because there's no place for them right now, which our community is now building, which is great. If we can move towards more electronic home monitoring, if we can move to these types of reset programs and other types of programs that we're talking about to reduce the return of inmates to the jail, then if we can lower the demand for beds, we can lower the cost for this project. And so we've really been focused on looking at the entire justice system, not just, hey, what's it going to take to add more beds, right? This is all about what can we do as a community to really reduce the amount of demand for jail beds.
Yeah, we've been a leader in Minnesota for when it comes to specialty courts. We have domestic violence court, we have drug court, we have DUI court. Two of the courts that we're lacking, one of them is mental health court, the other one is VA court. We need, I foresee us having a need for both of those things, having an influence and impactful on people's lives. Again, we're dealing with people that are in crisis. They're at the low point in their life for whatever decision they made, whatever things that have happened in the past. We have an opportunity to be an influence on them, again, change their future. Of course, you got to get buy-in from them. And when one of the things that was said just recently to me is when somebody's in jail after they detox from whatever they've been on, they are very vulnerable and they are open to people who can be influential in them. We need to take that opportunity and again be influential and giving them the opportunities to make good decisions for themselves moving forward.
So based on your opinions here, what is the viability of the jail actually staying downtown in the various options that are there?
Oh, gosh. I would say that we're pretty early in the process to know that. Right now, the commission is being challenged with identifying what would be the best option from those seven that we've just described and are included in the report. From that decision, we'll then need to decide, okay, if you said expand the facility, okay, what's that look like in and around the surrounding area? If you said, as a commission, you want to build a regional facility, okay, well, where would we look to do that? If they said, well, let's just build a new facility but not a regional one that's a smaller footprint, well, you know, these property decisions and locations are kind of the next few steps ahead. They're not what is being considered at the moment. Now, there are estimates for property costs inside of each of these different scenarios. But they're very generalized. They're generic, based on a kind of per square footage cost. And they're a little bit conservative to make sure that they're, you know, we don't undershoot the budget on these things. But they're fair and equitable in their distribution of those costs throughout all the scenarios. So I know that's a popular question is, okay, where is this going to happen? Well, we don't even know what it is yet. So until we know what it is, we can't really know where it'll be.
So there is a portal on the Bill Tramey County website, which you handed me this cool card, Sheriff, for people to provide input. Now, what sort of things should people like look for when formulating their own educated opinion?
One of the first things I'd like to see people do when they get to our web portal is go in and take the survey that we have put in there. Again, as our steering committee came together, we came up with questions that we'd like to have input for and our county board would like to have addressed to them. So there's a lot of questions. Take the survey in there. And there's also a portal for you to leave general comments about what you believe. Also, we have that meeting coming up on Thursday, the 22nd, public hearing coming in before the board and give them your opinion or your thoughts on this project. But this portal will give you an opportunity. If you haven't listened to any of the meetings that we've gone to, you haven't been part of any of the decision making or the meetings that we've had, this portal will have all of that information. Everything from steering meeting minutes, the programming subcommittee meeting, the financial meetings, the design meeting. Of course, they haven't met yet because we got to know what, you know, that'd be putting the cart before the horse. We don't know what we're doing yet. So, but all of that information is in there. The full presentation by Justice Planners is in there, plus some of the work that they did prior to that. Because again, we needed to to refine what we were asking for them, because we gave them a pretty broad request. And so we needed to have that narrowed down, and we went with a very moderate request, what I think. Again, not wanting to overshoot it, but yet being very conservative about it. I think there's a lot of good information. There's a lot of good information, and I say lot, an emphasis on a lot. It's going to take some mining. If you really want to find out what's going on, please get into that web portal, take a look at the information. And of course, we are open, I'm open to meeting with anybody, any groups of people that want to meet and talk and discuss this further, and can give them some of the steps and some of the information that I've been provided, and of course, my knowledge and experience and what I've gone through is running the Bill Tramey County Jail.
Is it going to be possible to build a facility that lasts longer than 32 years? It doesn't seem that long ago to me. We took Chatabout to the brand new jail when it opened and did Chatabout in jail, where it's often belonged, they said. But at the same time, multi-million dollar facility, you don't really want to build one every 30 years.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the infrastructure that's put into it. That stuff wears out. It's a 24/7 operation. It never gets downtime. And so all of that infrastructure, whether it be plumbing, electrical, heating, all those things get wear and tear. And for example, right now, the doors that we have on the cell doors, the mechanicals that were part of that, they're back in the day, they were mechanical and electrical both. Very difficult now in order to get that fixed. If we have a jail lock break, it takes 30 to 90 days to get that fixed because we have to send it out and have somebody engineer it again, and it goes into a shop for being recreated before we get it back again. So those things are not really available. We don't have that kind of stuff in place. If we refurbed it, if we went in and cleaned it all up and fixed and put in new infrastructure, well, that's one of the options that's in there. It's very expensive to do that. Again, you're going to remodel what we have, put new things in place, and we all know that jails are the most difficult physical building to build. They are solid cement buildings. They are very difficult to work with. They're designed to be that way. So again, having that there, I can't tell you whether we're going to build a jail and it's going to last the next 30 years or 35 years. A lot of it depends upon its use going forward. It's going to depend on the maintenance of it and how easy it is to fix those things that come into, that do break. Again, 24/7 operation, it does get a lot of use. One of our last inspections by the Department of Corrections felt that from the previous year to that year, they had estimated our jail had physically aged 10 years in just that 1 year. Again, it's kind of hard to swallow, that, what do you mean? It's only a year older. It's not 10 years older. But when you look at the infrastructure, the amount of work that goes into it, the plumbing and the electrical system and the work that is involved in that, very labor intensive, costs a lot of money. To refurb that is going to cost a lot of money as well.
All right. Well, any other? I think I'm out of questions. How about you, Todd?
Well, I think that should do it for now.
There are a lot of questions, of course, still. But any other closing remarks before we let you guys go today?
I would just say we want to get the message out to the folks to get involved. This is a generational decision here, and it's going to impact our community for many generations. And so, being part of the decision making process, giving input to the commissioners that are going to be asked to take on the burden of deciding what to do going forward. And then once that decision gets made, there's so much more that's gonna happen. I'm sure we'll be talking with you about, you know, how does it run through the process, and what happens with property, and what happens with financing, and what happens, I mean, all of those questions, you know, there's some of that are still needing to be addressed depending upon options chosen. But right now the goal for us and the county is to really engage the public on the issue and make sure that everyone's aware of the issues, that they have an opportunity to get information and educate themselves, and certainly provide feedback to the county commission, because that's really what they're asking and looking for right now is they want to hear from the community, because this is a community facility, and we want to make sure that we're making the right decision for generations to come.
As Tom said, transparency through this whole project, getting the public involved, getting input and feedback from them is so very important. And again, we're open to anybody that wants to ask questions and talk about this. This is an open book on how this process takes place. We want them involved in it. It's been long undertaken already. We started this in 2019. We are probably looking at another 4 to 5, maybe even 6, 7 years down the road before it actually, whatever we decide, comes to fruition. So become involved, stay involved. We're there to answer, and please ask your questions. Don't be afraid to do so.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Administrator Tom Berry, Sheriff Ernie Vital. Thanks again for coming in and enlightening us all.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Larissa and Todd.